Marcia, Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day of broadcast insults. And off today, Mr. Richard Roper is here.
It's dry today. It was wet yesterday.
I believe
I'm a very observant journalist.
Yes, you're on top of things.
Yes, I noticed that on the way in.
It is. I got to tell you, though, it's less icy than I feared it would be, at least downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I know that out in some of the other places, some of the other environs of this metropolitan area.
The south suburbs.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. There is more ice on the roads, which is, that's a bad thing. You don't want the black ice.
No. Unless Icy was doing the traffic a little earlier today, but we got Violetta now.
And Violetta was just handed a present for her pre-birthday.
Nice.
I don't know if anybody's mentioned it, but Violetta's birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, she got a birthday? Okay.
Yes,
so
this
is like
the
Christmas Eve? Yeah.
Yeah.
We can go big as well?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you prefer to open up your presents on Christmas Eve or Christmas?
Just one late tonight.
Well, I got one from Marlene Wells. So first I reached out to Marlene because she has, you know, all of the WGN goodies.
Do you have a present for me? Do you have a present
no.
for me? Do you have a present for me?
First I reached out to her because I needed goodies and some WGN swag for the goodie bags. Mm-hmm. Something
for the
small.
Goodie bags for what?
For my birthday party on Thursday.
What? You mean
birthday
when
dinner?
When
my
you're taking
dinner.
All,
your personal party,
all your
yes.
girls out, is that Thursday or Friday?
Thursday.
You're taking all your girls out to the club?
No, that's on Saturday. Thursday's a nice dinner with friends at Cortino's. I'll be there in the wine room.
Wow.
And then.
So she has to give them presents to show
wait,
up.
You want people to. You want stalkers to show up? Is that what you're looking for?
Oh, no, I don't know actually why I mentioned that. Yeah. I'm not going to be there. I don't know what time I'm going.
Okay.
The other Cortino.
Yeah. Right. No, but so I needed some WGN stuff, and then she came in here, and she just gave me this huge cooler. It fits like 6 to 7 beverages, mm-hmm. and then it has like a boom box on the outside, and it has WGN.
GN has a cooler that turns into a boom box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do I get
it's
one of
it's got a speaker on here. It's really cool. I was like, I'm not giving this to my friends. I'm keeping this one, and I'll give them the keychains.
I think that's when they thought they were going to hire Bubba the Love Sponge in 2002, but it never worked out.
Check
so they had
out.
Some early swag.
If you're watching on CLTV.
What? Oh, I don't this. Understand what that
it's
is.
It's a cooler, but also a sound system.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just point out, I've been here 30 years. My mom has never, ever given me a present for my birthday.
It's tough enough to get a t-shirt
and that's
from
an
our closet.
I know, right? Look at that. That's
well,
awesome.
Cooler. Just to let you know, you guys might
Did
be getting goodie
that?
Bags as well.
Wow.
So. Oh. Behave.
Can you put that cooler in my goodie bag?
No, that one's for me. I got some WGN tape measures here. I got some WGN keychains. I have a WGN, those like sweat things that like help you open up a bottle when it's like hard to open.
That's a whoopee cushion.
Oh, no. This is not a whoopee cushion.
I see. That's
a gripper. It's like a gripper for
that would be funny, though.
That would, the WGN whoopee cushion would be a really good idea because then we could sell it with the WGN to pens.
Ooh, I have WGN pens. Okay.
Uh-huh.
WGN USBs.
Uh-huh.
Who doesn't need one of these days?
That's true. Gosh, it's a gift that keeps on giving there.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff there. And that, boy, that'd be a lot of fun if you're on Oak Street Beach and someone comes up with a cooler that is also a boombox. Oh, good. You're going to drink and blast music.
No,
fun.
You're going to blast WGN Radio 720.
It probably only gets that.
Right.
I can't get any other station.
That was a thing back in the, right? when I first started in AM radio in the 1980s. Wow. It freaks me out when I say that. We would give away radios. Actually, when we were with the Sox at WMAQ, we'd give away radios that could only pick up WMAQ.
Yeah. I remember those. They were on a lot of refrigerators and a lot of garages in Alsip and Oak Lawn, my territory, and Dalton.
You could only get it. Would, you
love
know,
those.
67 WMAQ, and it would be with the Sox logo, and then that was all you could get.
Phony dials on it. They didn't really move.
Right. That was just a volume. Yeah.
Oscar Gamble coming to the plate.
I love that. I want that to be required on all radios. It's only 7:20 a.m.
That's a good
that's
idea.
The way we
you
gave
away at 7:20.
Putting all the stuff in the cooler now. That works perfectly too. All the gifts fit in the cooler.
Oh, it's got batteries and cool.
What are we talking about? The cooler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and then there was in the middle of all of it, there was like a zipper sound, which I thought was.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh,
well,
look at
this. That's where you put the. That's where the boom box is. The radio is. Yeah, cool. Comes
giving
with
away
batteries
WGN radios coming up at 4:20.
Wow.
Your own boombox.
All right. Well, we wish all of us the best of luck getting through tomorrow. That's all I'm going to say.
Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking
Violetta
forward to it.
Just got more swag individually on one day than everyone combined that have worked together at WGN have ever gotten. It's like impossible to get a t-shirt.
I'm very grateful. Thank you, Marlene, for all your help. It's greatly appreciated.
Everything that we have. There's nothing left.
Just that sound you heard is Steve Cochran pulling off the side of the road to call his agent. What's going on?
I want a cooler with
come in
the radio
every morning and dominate.
Right.
I got one beer koozie from you people.
Right.
All you have to do is ask.
Who knew? Yeah, well.
Oh, well, see, now we just learned something.
You
what
asked?
What do you have for my birthday?
No, I asked if I could get some keychains, and then she volunteered all of the rest of this stuff.
You know, all those keychains and a cooler, maybe?
Yeah, all those invitations that say, no gifts, please. Violetta just puts a cross through the N and the O.
She has
gifts,
a registry
please.
For her birthday. Yeah. A registry at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Walk into that place that she's not going tomorrow night. There'll be a table with gifts.
I actually could use a 20% off coupon from there because mine apparently expired.
They'll still take me.
No, they won't.
Okay.
Try hard enough.
I'll get another one in like a week on my text.
This is the moment messages. Where I ask the flight attendant if there are any other seats on the plane with those two. I see 27B looks open.
Do you mind if I move back there? Yeah. Where you get the worst seat on the plane, yeah, right? You
I'm go to, fine with
you
that.
You sit next to the bathroom. Right?
Holding the toilet paper in case right. they run out in the bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got
you're,
that seat.
Yeah. And you're certain that's actually, I've been on that for the hangover. Sometimes like, you go back because you get the three across. Mm. So you just go back there. That's what I would do right about now, too.
Yeah.
Did you want a tape measure back there?
No, no. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Golly.
Oh, yeah. Golly.
You guys are going to love your gift baggies tomorrow.
Picture of Violetta.
All of my favorite
list
things.
List of her favorite places.
Wait, we're getting gift bags on your birthday?
You know what
yes,
that means?
Yes, they're goodie bags.
Oh, goodie
Judy.
Bags. Uh-oh.
Judy.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Do you see what she's doing
yes.
here?
Did you have anything planned?
I have nothing. Well, next week we're going out of
right.
the show next
it's
week.
It's all next week, Violetta. Yeah.
I know, but
know.
My actual birthday is tomorrow, so I had to do something special.
Plant those seeds, man,
yes.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's what she's
something
doing.
Something special.
We had to wait for Kevin to get back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
stop using
it
that as an excuse,
be fair.
Okay?
It wouldn't be fair.
Wouldn't be fair.
Yeah.
yeah. We're also just got extended another week, guys. So go.
You know what?
Ahead.
Maybe we could have Marlene plan something.
Yeah. Why'd you go out with Marlene tomorrow?
Kev's taking that light-up cactus keychain that he was going to keep for himself, and he's giving it to Violetta now. Oh, man, I'm going to get this off to my keys right
Who
now.
Who knows she likes keychains?
Yeah. Here's a baseball. Signed by Ron Kittle. To Kevin. I thought you'd really enjoy it.
It's crossed out. Yeah. Violetta under
yeah,
Kevin.
He's not a great speller.
is this with two T's or one T? Hold on. And that's Kevin asking himself in his own head. Can't remember now. What is it? Two T's or one T? Oh, God, I got to sign it fast. It's a different pen. She's going to know.
It's one T.
All right. Right now, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom?
They're Chicago and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning 2 News Team. That's weekdays 4 to 10. I like those guys. A lot of royalty right there in Chicago media with Lauren Jiggets and Dan Ponce.
And a Ponce. Well, there's it's a city ordinance now. There has to be a Ponce at every Ponce. TV station.
And I love Lauren. Lauren's just fantastic. The whole team there, they do a great job. 6 quick hours in the morning for the guys there.
I like that. Serena Marshall is with us from ABC News in Washington, D.C. She's at the White House. And let's talk about the president is now meeting with the victims of school shootings. You've got some people representing some of the major school shooting incidents of the last number of years, including Sandy Hook and kids from Florida as well. Mm. And there's pressure, and it does seem as though the president, at least at the moment, seems to have opened the door to some kind of action on bump stocks and background checks. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's right. So we heard from him yesterday, and he announced that he wanted the Justice Department to draft regulations that would ban weapons that turn legal guns into rapid-fire weapons, or bump stocks. And then also that he was open to that bill that would basically make it more of a requirement for federal agencies to share information with the national background check system that are used for gun purchases. Now, that is a bipartisan bill. Regulation on Justice Department is a draft regulation that they would see what their ability is are within an executive order kind of ability. And now he is having this listening session. It actually just got underway just a few moments ago. And they have families from, as you said, Sandy Hook and Columbine and about half a dozen students and their parents from Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, as well as some students and teachers from other local community schools.
Serena, I think we'll see, you know, talk about putting a face on the length and breadth of this tragedy, because we're talking about someone who was a student at Columbine. We're talking about somebody who's in their late 30s by now, I would assume. It's almost 20 years ago.
Well, now the individuals that are participating from Sandy Hook and Columbine, it's like the parents of, it's Daryl Scott, the founder of Rachel's Challenge that was founded after the Columbine shooting. Sandy Hook Promise, some representatives from that organization founded after the Sandy Hook shooting.
Gotcha. You know, and events like this, I mean, this is not the first, nor will it be the last White House to do events like this where you put people together around an emotional subject and feigned compassion. I've seen a lot of feigned compassion over the years from many administrations. But this is a unique moment because you have Republicans in charge of the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. And this would be a moment that if they wanted to actually do something, they could. But is there actually a political will to do it, or is there still great fear or respect for the NRA's position, and they don't want to get too into the and they don't want to start a ball rolling that they won't be able to stop?
That is the big question. How far will this go, and how much pressure will they feel? Now, that announcement came yesterday about the regulation to look into bump stocks. I should say that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms have looked at this in the past. They determined in 2010 and again in 2012 that under the definitions included in federal law, it lacks the authority to regulate them. So it's unclear if they'll find some kind of a different mechanism at which they could regulate them, or if they'll end up saying, okay, well, this has to be regulated on a federal through a federal statute, some legislation through Congress. And that is what we'll have to wait and see. And the same thing with that bipartisan bill with background checks. If that will actually get momentum, it appears to have some backing from the White House. They said they're open to the process of that legislation, but if it'll actually move forward, get signed into law. We've seen these movements to some extent after these past shootings that we've seen in this country. Whether or not this will sustain is the big question. Now, they have some scheduled national events in the future as well right now. March 14th, they're calling for a national student walkout event. March 24th, there's that big march in Washington that they're scheduling that right now community organizers are expecting roughly 500,000 participants. But the president having this listening session is a big deal. He's hearing directly from students from the Parkland High School, from students local in the community on what they think needs to be done. Some of the voices that have been trying to lead this charge are the students. So for him to sit down with the students is something we shouldn't ignore either.
Yeah, he just welcomed them to the White House, and he was just speaking just a second ago. We were monitoring it as we're talking here, and he's handed off to one of the students to start the discussion. And you know, this is interesting. You know, he had moments. Remember, over a month ago, he had that meeting with his cabinet officials, and they were going through the DACA situation and immigration, and the president saw an almost immediate overnight bump in his approval because he was handling it like a CEO at a board meeting. Right. Saying, "All right, let's listen to everybody here. What do you think? Okay, I like that idea. All right, let's move over here." And then he was undergoing some criticism from people on his right, essentially, for giving up too much in that meeting and acquiescing too much, which is what a CEO would do to get something done in a situation where he'd be the CEO, where he'd be able to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. But he's not. I mean, he's learning, on the job here that the president has to deal with Congress and has to deal with these with the politics of the moment. And it does kind of give you a sense of the fact that Donald Trump didn't come up through the ranks of a refined Republican in the sense that he had been through, run through from a state legislature to a congressional position to a senator, whatever it happens to be, or a governor, that the route that everybody else has taken here, where they deal with these issues day in and day out, and these kinds of activists day in and day out, and they know where the tripwires are. The president kind of knows where the tripwires are because he's taken part in being a tripwire before, but he's not confronted with all of this every day, so he's new to it. So when he does things like this, he's going to get criticized for being too whatever it's going to be from whatever side here. And this is going to be an interesting moment. But the kids are speaking now. I'm going to dip into a little bit of that. Serena, thank you very much for your time for the White House. I really appreciate
it.
Thank you, Serena Marshall, ABC News. Here's what the president just said a couple seconds ago.
We're going to be very strong on background checks. We'll be doing very strong background checks. Very strong emphasis on the mental health of somebody. And we are going to do plenty of other things. Again, next week, the governors are coming in from most of the states, and we're going to have a very serious talk about what's going on with school safety. Very important. And we're going to cover every aspect of it. There are many ideas that I have. There are many ideas that other people have. And we're going to pick out the strongest ideas, the most important ideas, the ideas that are going to work, and we're going to get them done. It's not going to be talk like it has been in the past. It's been going on too long, too many instances, and we're going to get it done.
Okay. All right, we'll see. We'll see. Let's keep our... I'm going to keep my mind open here.
Okay.
Because there are some common sense realities here. You know, those that specific type of weapon... The AR-15, before there was such a thing as the AR-15, was the M-16. You couldn't go buy that anymore, that weapon.
Military weapon being... Yeah.
And there are reasonable restrictions on types of weapons, but this is where you're going to run into a problem. The Supreme Court did rule it is constitutional to ban the sale without a special permit of fully automatic weapons. Mm. Right? Okay. So we know that those are already restricted. Then comes the question of large capacity, high muzzle velocity weapons like these. Mm. And the question is, then hunters jump up and go, well, what about my hunting rifle? Mm-hmm. Well, people have been hunting with rifles for, you know, from the musket on, you know, for 300 years. So the question is, at what point do you need a 30? Do you need an AR or an AK or that type of a weapon of war for hunting? Do you need it? Or do you have a constitutional right to it? And the Supreme Court's already determined that you do not in the Heller decision. You do not have a constitutional right to any kind of weapon that you want. There are reasonable restrictions here. And they can look at capacity and velocity. They can look at that. And the question is, will they? All right. Well, we will we'll find out. Right now, we're standing by WGN News, coming your way in 2 minutes with Judy. Rococho with Anna DeBlantis, Richard Roper in for Anna today. Here is Tom Skilling. He is joining us.
Hello, Ro.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Tom.
I just want to ask you, last night I know you were working, and it was your birthday yesterday.
Yes.
And I'm being forced to say this because it's Violetta's birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
But I'll ask you, did you do something special last night?
Not a thing.
No.
No.
Did you do something over the weekend or coming up this weekend?
Yes. We had a lovely family get together on Sunday, and so we had a little dinner, and it was really nice. Yes. Yes.
I know. I forgot something. Family get together.
Did you?
It was lovely. I would highly recommend it, Violetta.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Have you met my family?
Yeah. I have. You have a lovely family. You even have a place where you can get together. You know,
that's true. Restaurant
in the family. So you are well equipped to. Bring the whole group together.
She does have a very lovely family. Her father
really
is still on the watch list as far as we're concerned. But
and in Serbia.
Yeah.
Really? He was so nice.
He's lovely. They always are. But there's something going on there. I'm not just quite sure what it is at any given moment.
What way?
You know, he's a guy who's constantly doing something. He's constantly in motion.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, yes. But he's not like constantly in motion. I've seen him at the restaurant, and he's running around just pouring booze in people's mouths and setting stuff on fire. And
he's so welcoming. When we had that get together for Mark Sapelsa, it was really nice. I thought, with everybody there, I was amazed he had time to come over and talk to any of us.
It's just that it seems like a very generous man. He'd hand you the car keys, but he would just also say, "Don't open the trunk." Just don't ask.
See, you're reading things into this.
Of course we are. That's what
I know, Richard. I didn't see that at all.
You're a kind man.
I think we're cynical over here. I guess. Yeah. That was a nice get-together. It really was.
Yeah. And Violetta's mom, it's actually, they're like Serbian nesting dolls. She and her mom, a grandmom, and her sister. And they, her mom is like the, you know, like hardworking, so sweet. And you can tell, I mean, she's really into it. And the, and actually it seems like all of the eyes in the family are in a constant role position when it comes to Violetta and her dad. Yeah. I think that's basically what
that
it comes
might
down
be
to.
True.
Yeah. There's, I mean, they're like hard, that's like the great American immigration story right there. Yeah, that's what, you know, that's what we're all
really is.
You know, what
well,
we talk
about. Every family needs a mess up. Okay.
Yeah, and they
Violetta, do you identify yourself as a mess up? I
no, she's talking about her dad.
Oh, you're putting that on your dad's shoulders.
No,
I don't think so at
he
all.
He smuggled us all here, so God bless him.
Oh, gosh.
Talk about your chain migration.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Did you see the story today that Melania Trump's family,
yes.
her parents are here now?
Yes.
As a result of chain migration?
Hmm. Yes, I did see that.
That's going to be kind of an interesting argument when they when he has to make it.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of chain migration. It's awful, except for my own in-laws.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why he wants to get rid of it. Get the in-laws out of here.
They got to go, Melania. I'm sorry.
God. It's the law.
Yeah. Can't do anything
do you think
about
he's, it. Other than the wedding, do you think he's ever met his in-laws?
I Very mean, rarely.
My sense is that
no
it's not like they're coming over for dinner at the Trump Tower.
My father-in-law, Pete, Jim.
It would be a pretty audacious place to have dinner anyway. Gold-plated penthouse.
Yeah.
33,000 square feet.
Have them over when I'm not here.
Right.
And I'm never here.
That's true.
I don't know what. I don't get a sense of that. I swear to God, I am waiting for the moment, though, because there will be this moment where she breaks bad. Mm. It may be years from now. It may be, but it will be the moment where she talks about what this experience was like and what she saw and what she liked and she didn't like. And I just cannot wait for the moment because you could tell she's super smart and she's taking it all in.
Yes.
You know,
she's
very
classy, very nice
woman.
You can
see how that, like, is. You can almost see it, like, working in her eyes. She has no other facial expression thanks to Botox, but she does have a, but she's got that look in her eyes, like, I'm just going to absorb all of this, and when I have to testify at the Hague, I've got my story down. I've got notes.
She's very quick though, with the one hand yanking it away from him. There's like 10 different videos of the Donald trying to hold her hand or touch her, man. She moves that hand away so fast.
Yeah, Bruce Lee.
He got a thumb the other day coming down Air Force One, just a thumb, and she yanked that away.
You guys are terrible.
That's all on tape. It's real news, Tom.
I know.
The son, he shall save us. I am convinced of this, too. I think Baron is also, his mom, is watching all of this.
And taking it all in.
He will have a lot to say at some point.
Yeah.
He may be the one that has to save us all from the...
Kind of like the Green Goblin son in the Spider-Man movies. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's like the one who's going to be the
Go
one
to your room.
That is the... that. I do see a whole superhero thing where he actually goes out at night and undoes all of the damage that has been done while wearing, like, you know, some sort of a superhero kind of outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spider-Man-ish.
It's quiet, people that you got to look out for. They kind of quietly assess the whole thing.
Yes.
And
the
as
White
you say,
Tiger, he'll be the sequel to the Black Panther.
And when it finally comes out, it just, it'll do so in a rush. Well, that's a quite a tell-all book you're talking about that is going to be coming. Maybe a couple of them.
Yeah, because I mean, it cannot be easy. No matter even if let's just assume that Donald Trump has never ever touched a woman since he's been married to Melania, other than Melania and all of that. It has to. Let's just for the sake of the argument here, he is the worst defender of himself ever, because he's even when you watch this now, like, you know, if you assume he had nothing to do with the Russian investigation, he just acts so guilty, right? He's like, if you were an 8-year-old kid, you'd go, all right, go to your room, you did do it, right? And that's the same thing with the women and his reaction to all of them. And you know, Melania's got to have her own thoughts on this, and I just always wonder, like, what must that conversation be like when she wants to pin him down, or does she? Does she even care anymore?
Tried to pick up a lamp in the White House, but they've all been bolted down since the Hillary
since
days.
The Clintons, yeah.
Reportedly.
Right, exactly.
No, it is true.
I'll meet you in the lamp-throwing room.
Anyway,
it's got to be tough.
It's tough.
The whole thing's got to be tough.
It's tough for all of us, let alone her.
It's true. You're put under such a microscope in those positions, but there's a lot to put under the microscope on this one.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's every day. This is no administration ever.
No.
Ever has had,
covered the terrain that we've covered last year. No, that's true.
Last week alone would have been an entire 4 years of scandals and anything else.
Yeah. Remember, it used to be we got upset over Obama playing golf once in a while, and I used to think, in that job, you got to do something to, kind of unwind. And if that's what it takes, I think it's great. But
Is there too much? Because I was always of that opinion too, which is I don't care if they play golf.
Yeah,
I really don't. But the problem is that President Trump made such a big deal
of it
out of Obama doing it.
There's a level of hypocrisy in that, and that's what I think probably drives people to distraction who are his critics.
Yeah. Okay, I can think of one right now that I'm looking at in the mirror. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about something.
Boy, we've covered some. Some dicey turf right here.
I'm just checking this app, this dating app, to see when Hope Hicks is going to be back on there.
Yeah.
Waiting for Hope.
Yeah.
See when she's going to be available.
Swipe right.
My name's Kevin. I just got back from covering baseball in Arizona.
Right.
It was super like her way.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be nicer than that last guy.
Tom, what's the weather look like tomorrow?
Tom.
Well, we're kind of stuck between abnormally cold air out west, abnormally warm air in the east. This is a dangerous corridor to be in because you get these disturbances.
Oh, this is the one you were worried about, right?
Well, I was worried about this last one. And
right.
I don't think it may be the last one we've seen. I'm not sure we'll see anything quite of that magnitude, but there's a little disturbance tomorrow night, Friday morning, a stronger storm.
Oh, you think there's a disturbance tomorrow night in the atmosphere? Wait till you see what Violetta does for her birthday.
I hadn't even factored
that
in.
She's already announced where and what time she's going to be there and who's going to be there, and if anybody wants to stop by, you're like, what?
Well,
the more
happy
the
birthday, Violetta.
All right, don't start. You have to suck up tomorrow. But the question here is tomorrow. I mean, obviously we had this big cold. You know, the dove into here.
Yeah,
it's going to get warmer over the weekend.
And you
know what?
This is only taking us down to where we ought to be. You know, but compared to 66 yesterday, it feels cool. Actually, every day of the next until we get to later next week, it will be above normal. So we're going to finish February above normal for each of the days coming up. May not feel like it, but it's actually above normal today. So, if we can get through today with an above normal temperature, you can imagine how on the days that we get up into the 40s, which we ought to be doing by Friday and Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we may get up into the low 50s by Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So that will be pretty respectable. And what we're going to do is raise the deficit we've got going for the month of February. So I think when the book closes on this will have been a pretty normal February. At least it'll look that way statistically. The rain, though, is phenomenal. Over a half foot of rain in some of these southern suburbs, there's no way soil that's frozen can handle that, nor the rivers into which the water drains. So we've got a real mess down in the area south of the city in particular.
Tom, if we had normal winter temperatures, what kind of a snowfall would
that
have been?
Everybody asks that, Richard. Normally you figure 12 to 1, snow to water. So I did a calculation where somebody asked that on Facebook. We'd have gotten about 30 inches of snow at O'Hare and about 37 at Midway. But here's the deal.
That's about average or a little bit below, right?
That's a lot. Well, I mean, for one storm, that's off the charts.
Oh, in one storm. Oh, at the jump of the season.
But here's the deal. We always do that comparison. And the thing is, when you have these exceedingly heavy rain events, normally the temperatures have warmed up. Like the 66 yesterday, you'd never have that kind of moisture in the atmosphere.
Right.
And the temperature where it snows on you. So we wouldn't get 37 inches of snow. But it's kind of interesting to play around with those numbers.
It's always fun to think about and to say. Put it in a little of the 100,000 graphics you have per weathercast. You can put that in one of the slides.
Yes. He has been an actual cats and dogs, it would have been 17 feet of cats and dogs raining on us.
Right.
That's a good chart. You can use that one.
Yeah.
Tom, we will talk to you on Violetta's birthday.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That will be a very special broadcast occasion, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. Whew. All right. Thank you, Tom.
See you, Ro.
Judy, what's coming up?
See you, Richard.
And the WGN Newsroom. Joe Concha with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we have got a number of things we have to mention here. By the way, coming up, a chance for you to rip us off for more tickets, invitations, I think we have to call them. Tickets makes it sound like it's a money thing. It's not a money thing. It would be against the law for it to be a money thing. Yeah. For our live broadcast coming up on Monday, March 5th from the Museum of Broadcast Communications, from the Saturday Night Live set. There's a beautiful display, an installation, as I like to say in the museum world, of the history of Saturday Night Live at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It is, if you love Saturday Night Live, or you grew up on it, or you're second generation or third generation viewer of it, it's an amazing, it's the original sets, it's the original costumes, it's a walkthrough experience, it's three-dimensional, there's a video presentation, there's stuff you can touch. It's an amazing, 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 for those who've, you know, from John Belushi to, well, one of those guys.
Mikey Day!
Mikey Day, yes. From John Belushi to Mikey Day. It's pretty amazing stuff. So we're going to be there. Your opportunity to join us is coming up just cool. A few minutes.
Nice.
All right. Troy Murray is joining us right now. And Troy Murray is going to do one more shift. Our own Troy Murray. You know him as a color analyst right here on WGN Radio for Chicago Blackhawks hockey. And this is where you're going to be honored with the one more shift where you get to put on the pads and you get to get out there on the ice. Well, let me be honest with you, Troy. We could use you right about now.
Yeah, I don't know if they've told you this, Troy. You're going to be out there for a 90-second shift.
Right, every 4 minutes.
I'm not leaving the ice. I'm staying. You're going to have those skate guards chasing me around the rink there. I'm going to stay and play.
I think it might be okay right about now. I'm going to suggest that the Hawks actually are able to have seven guys on the ice per shift, if that's okay. Would that be
whatever
all right?
It takes?
It's an idea. It's one idea.
That might help them.
Yeah. How excited are you about this?
You know what? I am. I mean, I'm really excited, and it's an honor for me to be, recognized like this, if you want to call it like that. And you know, it just brings back great memories from the old days. And I guess maybe this is, you know, closing the chapter on my retirement comeback, coming out of retirement. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. My family's going to be down there. Got a lot of friends coming to the game tonight. So it'll be exciting for me.
Never say never.
Yeah. Well, Troy, isn't it? It's just such a cool thing to see over the years how the Blackhawks have really embraced all of the alums that, you know, like yourself and some of your former teammates, and of course going back to the great stars of the 60s, because that wasn't always the case, you know, with the organization. But the last 10 years or so, it seems like they've really embraced the legacy of the Blackhawks.
You know, Rich, you're right. And one of the first things that John McDonough did when he took over with the Blackhawks was he engaged a meeting with the Blackhawks alumni. I was a part of that meeting, and he basically said, you know, how do we make this better? How do we include you guys? And they started the ambassador program, which is phenomenal. Anytime you go to a game, you're seeing, you know, Dennis Savard, Bobby Hull, Stan Mikita, you know, the great names of the past. And I think it's really important, and it's something that the Blackhawks organization as a whole really believes in. The tie between the generations of fans is great. And to embrace all of those generations of fans and to do what they do as far as honoring certain players to come back, it's great. I mean, you know, you saw Al Secord, Eric Dazé, Steve Larmer has done that. Jeremy Roenick came back. I mean, these are great names that a lot of the fans remember. You know, prior to this kind of era of real good success.
Yeah.
I think it's important for the Blackhawk fans to identify with the different generations of Blackhawks that, have been here in the past. And, you know, that's what it's kind of all about. And so for me to be selected and be recognized, it's a real honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about, may I ask you about the team? Because we haven't had a chance to talk in a couple of weeks about this, and I kept thinking that this is that there were a corner was going to be turned here, because you have this core of still some of the best players in the NHL on this team, and you've got great coaching. There's no question about that, and you have great management, and it seems like I can't identify what it is that has gone wrong. Can you?
Well, you know, it's hard to put your finger on it and say this is the one thing, but, you know, if you listen to Joel Quenneville in the way that he kind of talks about this team, expectations obviously are very high, and this is something that a lot of these guys have not gone through in their careers with Joel Quenneville as the head coach. I mean, this is something that Taves and Kane, unfamiliar territory. But, you know, he said, you know, Alex DeBrincat may be the only guy who has exceeded expectations this year. So, you know, everybody's off production. And I think that, you know, across the board, there's been inconsistent play from their top players, from their support players who have been, you know, fairly noticeable, I think, all season long. But, you know, that core group of guys just haven't been able to make the difference this year. And the games that they found ways to win, they're finding ways to lose right now. And I agree with you 100% as far as, you know, I sat there and I was just like, okay, you know what? These are big games coming up here. This team is going to turn the switch and they're going to come back and they're going to, you know, beat Calgary back-to-back. They're going to beat Minnesota, Dallas in games that just, you know, were huge at that point of the schedule. And they just were never able to do it. And I think that it's been disappointing to those guys inside the room. It's been disappointing to the organization not to be able to be, you know, that team and the way that they played in the past, being able to, you know, find ways to win games when they didn't have their A game. You know, simply if they don't bring it for 60 minutes, they're probably not as good and as deep as they've been in the past, and they have to find different ways to win.
Hey, Troy, it's Kevin here. First of all, congrats on the honor. Secondly, Corey Crawford hasn't played since December 23rd. It's probably time just to shut him down, right? Doesn't it sound like they're sort of leaning that way now after missing this much time and playoffs kind of slipping through their fingers?
Hard to figure out what they're going to do, Kevin, with the, you know, Corey. And, you know, the one thing that he said, and he came on the road trip and he was there in Arizona and Vegas, and then we haven't seen much of him as of late. You know, whether there was a setback or not, or, you know, I don't know, and nobody seems to know. But, you know, he said that, listen, I'm a goalie, and if I'm 100% and I'm ready to go, I want to play. And I would think that if you get down to where the end is and, you know, mathematically you're out of the playoffs and he is available to play, I still think that he should probably get in some games this year just to, you know, have it in his mind that everything's okay and get into the off season rather than have a little bit of uncertainty. And, you know, I think he, obviously you're going to make sure that first and foremost that his health or whatever is going on is put him in a position where it's all gone, it's all taken care of. They're not going to throw him back in there unless he's 110%. So, you know, that right off the bat could factor into the whole equation there. But I think that if he is, you know, he has kind of said that I want to play. I'm a goaltender. It's what I do. And if I'm ready to play, I want to play and expect to play.
Let's talk a little bit about Jonathan Toews. There's a lot of rumors circulating here as the trade deadline approaches that whether it's at this moment or over the offseason, that he may get moved to Winnipeg, where he's from originally. There's been some talk that he would like to retire out with that franchise, and that could be, you know, a complete change, obviously, in the way that the Blackhawks, you know, look at their future, and it would be the start of a rebuilding process. Obviously, you wouldn't want to give up both Kane and Toews, but if they were to give up one of them, what would that mean? I mean, I'm just asking this in the subjunctive here because we don't know if any of these rumors are true or they're seeding the waters here. I'm not sure what's happening, but what does that mean to you, Troy Murray? But you played in Winnipeg as well. You know, it means a lot to that city for sure. What does it mean to Chicago if he doesn't return?
Well, you know, that's pure speculation at this point. And I really, you know, you hear about Patrick Kane, and there's always been rumblings about him returning to Buffalo at some point.
Right.
Jonathan Toews from Winnipeg, you know, hey, let's trade Jonathan up to Winnipeg, his hometown. You know, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge between now and if that ever does happen. But I think if you look at the overall picture, and if something does happen down the road with one of those two players,
mm-hmm.
obviously it's the end of an era that you know, Chicago fans have embraced and really have brought this franchise back to where it is right now within the city of Chicago, within the NHL, within the sports world. Very rarely do you see two players like Toews and Kane make such an impact on an organization like they have. It's been incredible. You know, at some point, and you always go back to the fact, listen, if Wayne Gretzky was tradable, everybody's tradable in the game. And that's just the way it works. And that was my era. You know, it was obviously a major, major story back in those days when Wayne Gretzky was moved from Edmonton to the LA Kings.
Well, that's because he wanted to start his acting career. Let's just be honest about it. Gretzky always looked like an LA guy to me. I don't know.
Nobody is bigger than the game. But, you know, we're not at that point yet, and we'll see what happens as we move forward. But, you know, if anything does, it's always been Taves and Kane. It's all about those two guys and the rest of the core group that have been so successful here for such a great run. And whether that's over or not, I don't know. I mean, you make some adjustments. And I think if you don't make the playoffs this year, and obviously you lost 2 years ago in the first round to St. Louis, really close, in my opinion, of going on another real solid run and maybe an opportunity to win another cup that year. Losing last year in the first round, it was tough to swallow. And then if you don't make the playoffs this year, I think everything is going to be on the table. And that goes from top to bottom as far as, you know, what they need to do to figure out a solution and move on forward, because, you know, it's just something as this team stands right now, is it's not not acceptable to anybody at any level. But rather than having a knee-jerk reaction here, you know, I think that they're going to sit down and figure out and really try and understand where this team needs to be next year within 5 years and you know, look at the solutions and the possibilities moving forward.
All right. Well, on that somber note, we do celebrate, though, Troy Murray tonight taking the ice for one more shift with the Chicago Blackhawks. It's going to be epic, yeah. Those are the words I would use to describe it. If I were
pull a groin between the Zamboni Tunnel and the Red Line, I am going to be happy.
Oh, wait, I twisted my ankle!
I started working out yesterday, so I should be in
go, you're
shape.
Fine. You're fine.
The over-under is three penalty minutes you're going to get, Troy, while you're out there.
So. Right, that's true. You know what, I liked it. You know, one thing I'd like to say about your about the guys who wrote their press release today about this is they lead every paragraph with the number of penalty minutes you had in each town that you were in. I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, if I was ever in a fight, I probably lost them.
Yeah, yes.
The penalty minutes were self-defense.
You had 584 points and 875 penalty minutes. Well, that's the way that went, which is really pretty great. Congratulations on this.
Those are the good old days.
Yeah, I know. But what a incredibly fun player to watch, and now an incredibly fun listen on the radio when you're doing your analysis. So we thank you for that, and on television too when you step into that
absolutely.
That role as well. All right,
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Troy. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Troy Murray from the Chicago Blackhawks broadcast team, right here at WGN.
How about this? He did talk about it as a different era, but. In Jonathan Taves' amazing career here with the Blackhawks, he's never come close to a single-season goal total that Troy Murray had. He had 45 goals 1 year for the Blackhawks. 45 goals.
Wow.
Troy had. And I think Taves has maybe topped out in the 30s for a single season. And it is a different era, but, I mean, still, goals are goals.
And the ultimate, Troy Murray was the ultimate two-way player.
Great defensive forward, won awards.
He
top defensive forward.
That's right. The Selke Award.
The Selke, of course. Yeah. I knew that.
Yeah, the old Selke. That to me is, you know, that's the sign. That's a hockey player, right?
Defensive
there.
Forward
goes
yeah,
back. You know,
exactly.
Goes backwards and very dangerous in front of the net, and then a stopper in front of your own net is a great. Great, great, great player, and he certainly has been, and it'll be fun. And I, honest to God, I think Quenneville should keep him out there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I always wanted to win the Lady Bing trophy, but I never got it. It's my favorite.
It's the worst.
Lady Bing.
Right.
God love her.
Yeah. Well, she was quite a number, that Lady Bing. All right. Let us now. To me, the award you really... You want to win in hockey as a junior is the Tubby Schmaltz Award.
Oh, the Schmaltzer.
Yeah. The Tubby Schmaltz. That's and the team gets that. That's basically the Campbell Cup right there.
Schmaltz.
All right. Let us now, let's talk to Judy about what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Richard Roper is in for Anna today. Anna returns to this radio show tomorrow just in time for that blessed event.
That's on
my birthday.
Oh my gosh.
I told her, please come back. I need an excuse not to be here tomorrow.
Well, because I've been spending the whole day making cakes and right. You know, presents and things.
But. My mom's making pineapple upside down cake. It's kind of a tradition.
What about the cabbage rolls?
No cabbage rolls. I'm sick of those.
Give you gas anyway.
You don't want to smell like cabbage rolls on your birthday.
Yeah, and especially when you're out, you know, partying.
At the club, jumping out of the clubs.
Everyone at Concrete Cowboy is going to say, who smells like cabbage rolls?
Is there a cabbage roll buffet around here?
Did you just...
Is there a place named Concrete Cowboy?
Is that a part of the cover?
You know, a lot of people don't know Violetta's family actually invented the pineapple upside down cake. It was her great-great-great-grandmother who dropped it on the floor and said, okay, fine, it's an upside down cake now, all right?
It's
Who's
so
asking?
Good. It's my favorite.
All right. By the way, join WGN Radio in the fight to end lung disease at Chicago's biggest stair climb. It's the Fight for Air Climb Sunday, March 11th at Presidential Towers in the West Loop. You can climb one or all four towers to a total of 180 floors if you do the whole thing.
And you get to take the elevator down in between towers.
2,340 steps taken in the mission for health. Register now to join us with a pledge of support. WGN Radio team, 89 cents of every dollar raised goes directly to education, research, and advocacy. Register or pledge at WGNradio.com/events or fightforairclimb.org. All right. That's very exciting.
We'll see you guys there.
Yeah.
Happy you guys are able to make it.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got
crickets?
That thing.
Crickets?
I got that. Ow.
What is that?
Ow.
I'm going to be so fast you're not going to even see me.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Up the stairs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be the person going the wrong way. Drop my earring. Hold on.
Jeez. Remember Rosie Ruiz? She joined the marathon, the Boston Marathon, like with a mile to go. Jumped out of a cab and won the marathon. I'm going to do that. I just come out
You're
of the
You're in the last building.
Yeah. Oh, hi, everyone.
I did.
On the 30th floor.
Oh, yeah. Put the water all over your head. Like, oh, woo. Oh,
workout.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys just got here?
Yeah. Yes, I'm. I got the thing, but I'm going to. But I am with you in spirit. You know what I do in a situation like this?
Pay.
Yep.
Donate. Take out the credit card.
Write a check, or you swipe the credit card.
Nothing shows more that you care than money.
That is really true.
Kind of. Well, in this case, definitely donate.
Did you see that? Alex Trebek is going to be. He's a native Canadian, by the way.
Oh.
Naturalized U.S. citizen. I wonder if it was chain migration that got him in here.
Oh, here we go.
Just send him back. he has been asked to moderate a debate in the Pennsylvania gubernatorial debate.
Come on. Really?
Yep.
Form of a question, please.
Really? He's going to do it at the Hershey Lodge. No. You know, which is very, you know, that's a, you know, people just think Hershey is chocolate, but in Pennsylvania, it's a big, big, big deal. They're incredibly philanthropic family, and they were a very philanthropic family, and they created one of the great orphanages. Oh, if there's such a thing as a great orphanage, that's what they did in Pennsylvania. They did an amazing job taking kids whose parents had been lost and raising them. Amazing, amazing. So Alan Krzyzewski, ABC7's Alan Krzyzewski, actually was raised in that Hershey.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Wow.
In that system. Talks about it all the time. Amazing thing. So anyway, so they've got this has nothing to do with Alex Trebek. I don't know why I went off in this. But anyway, so Alex Trebek is going to be moderating with Tom Wolf, the Democrat, and attorney Laura Ellsworth, businessman Paul Mango, state senator Scott Wagner, all names that nobody needs to know. Mm-hmm. And it's unclear if the Libertarian Ken Krawchuk is going to be invited to participate.
Got to get that 5% or something to get on stage. Is that the deal?
Libertarian.
One of the candidates did one of your new favorite routines and just like, I'll take the rapist for 10.
That's therapist, Sean. That's therapist.
Alex Trebek, God love him, but he makes the mistake of thinking he's the smartest person in the world because he has the answers on Jeopardy.
Right.
He's always very smug and he's... No, that's not right. That would have been Louis XIV. Well, you got the answers, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I know. Don't you want to see him play?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Come on, tough guy.
Yeah.
put him up against Alec Baldwin and Drew Carey, game show host.
Or against Sean Connery.
I'll take anal bum cover for $7.
Oh, that's an album cover, not anal bum cover.
I can read Trebek. That says anal bum cover. I spent 5 years of my life trying to invent an anal bum cover. Failing to do so is my greatest regret.
Wow.
I cannot get enough of that.
No, you cannot. You really can.
I cannot.
So that'll be the debate. Pennsylvania, you say, huh?
Yeah. That's where it's happening in Pennsylvania. He says, now what, but he doesn't have the answers to these questions on a card, so he can't actually tell them they're
wrong. Pennsylvania politics.
Yeah. Wait, how do you know? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was gun legislation. The answer we're looking for was gun legislation.
The security will be done by Chewy. We're just going to have all TV personalities up there.
I really, honest to God, am just thinking about moving to New Zealand with the notorious RBG. I've been calling her. I've been courting her.
Mm-hmm. And how does she feel about that?
She's not responded, but I know that she's reading my letters. And I know that she's willing to go with me, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Gosh. I told her I'm good with the dentures.
Oh, wow.
And the hip replacement. I'm good with all of it. I'm ready to go.
You're looking for a companion.
That's all I'm really looking for
at this point.
Someone who understands you.
Yeah, someone who just, you know, we could travel until 5 o'clock when she has to have dinner, and then we can put her to bed at 6:30.
You'll have dinner at like 3:30 in the afternoon. It'll be like to go bag.
It'll be like Prince Frederick von Anhalt and Zsa Zsa Gabor. Oh,
you're going through TSA. What is this robe and gavel for? Those are personal items.
What do you mean she's okay? She's not okay. She's not breathing. She's not okay.
Oh, my goodness. I love her. I love her. All that is left of her.
I love Zsa Zsa.
Remember that they were taking poor woman, taking pieces of her.
Right, like a, right in the back.
Like a Monty Python on the Holy Grail skit.
In the star, they have pictures of him carrying her leg out and putting it in the trash and back. Do you think this is recycled? To be meant to recycle, this is?
Oh, man.
Oh, God. All right, anyway. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck. Sure. Okay. By the way, did you see that Alex Trebek is going to be hosting the...
That's amazing.
Gubernatorial debate in Pennsylvania.
I heard about that. Yeah. Should be a good time.
All right. You know what? Right now, we're going to find out from Judy Pilak what's coming up in the WGN newsroom at the top of the hour. Bro Concho with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. You know who's in for us right now? Mr. Richard Roper. Yes. And speaking thereof, Mr. Richard Roper, I'm going to tell you what you're going to be doing coming up tomorrow for Violetta's birthday. You are actually going to be at the 2018 Charity Poker Championship benefiting the, it's called...
Camp One Step. It's Children's Oncology Services, really, really cool organization. So what they do, Ro, is they've got various camping activities for the kids. And like in the summertime, they'll spend a couple weeks in Wisconsin, this camp, everything obviously covered. And it's a full experience. And it's really cool for the kids because, you know, a lot of times if it's kids from the ages of like 5 and 6 all the way up to teenagers. And if you're 12 years old and you're dealing with having to take medications or you've got to have, chemotherapy, you've got to, deal with various medical issues, everybody else in the camp can relate to that. You don't feel like you're standing out in any other way because all the kids have been through it or going through it. So they do terrific activities. In the wintertime, they'll do skiing, very active types of stuff. So this is a poker tournament, one of those great charity events at the Montgomery Club right over there on West Superior, right? Yeah. And, we can put up all the information, just go to the website. But it's pretty cool because you play for a great cause. But if you win, there's some really cool prizes, including the winner can get a seat at the 2018 World Series of Poker main event. That's a $10,000 seat. You can get right there. So,
yep.
And lots of other cool prizes and drinks and food and lots of fun. And you can knock me out legally, which is really fun. You can knock me out of the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like that.
Yeah, you can eliminate me, yes. So to speak.
Well, if you win, Roper, I'll love to go with you to the Vegas trip.
It's fantastic.
But I think that's a really nice
thank you.
Event and gesture.
I'll get. I'll hope to get a good
bag. Did I just hear what I think I just heard?
Yes.
That is what I just heard, right? She's invited herself to go to Vegas with you.
Well, you have to win first.
Okay. Only if you win. She's quite a catch, gentlemen. She's...
I've never been to Vegas.
Line up now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we're going to let's keep that streak alive for another year.
Maybe. That is
I'll tell you what. When you turn 47 in 21 more years, you call me.
Oh, my God. I can
Kev will be my driver at that point, taking me everywhere.
I can only imagine.
This big White Sox ring on from the World Series of 2027.
Right, do we all get rings if they win the World Series this year? Because I'm all over this.
Well, here we go.
2020, mark your calendar.
There you go.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. Be allowed to let loose. She's like all, and every Vegas flight, there are six bachelorettes in the back of the plane that they literally have to stop and make an announcement in the middle of the flight about.
They do.
She's the one. She's the person everyone tells this story about. You're never going to believe what this chick did in Vegas. I saw her at the bar.
Right?
You're the girl that is the story for the guys that when they get home, like, dude, this girl, you're not going to believe what she was doing. She was dancing on the bar. They had to carry her out.
Just see her like walking up to the blackjack table. Okay, what are you doing? What's this game?
Well, let me see your cards.
How do you play? Yeah, what are those chips for?
What kind of cards do you have?
Ma'am, you've just grabbed $28,000 in chips. Put them back.
I just want one. Yeah.
How do you play? What is this? Yeah. Is this good?
Can I sit on the other side of the table with you?
Why
do I have to face you like this?
I think it would be fine. I think it would be good. I think you guys are over exaggerating a little bit. But back to the point, this is a wonderful tournament that you're going to be in tomorrow.
Thanks.
Benefiting children.
Sorry, I can't join you and your friends in the goodie bag dinner, but I'll be thinking of you the whole time.
You'll still get a goodie bag. Oh, don't worry.
Exciting. Goodie bags for everybody. Oh, God.
Kevin, yours is in the mail. You'll get it wherever you are in Arizona.
Is it like a bachelor party goodie bag, or is it a... What goes on here?
What kind of suckers are in the goodie bag?
Yeah. See, that's the thing, because I mean, imagine for her friends, because we've seen some of her friends. Different goodie bags. We've seen what goes on here.
Yeah.
When they move like a school of fish, these people.
These people.
I feel like there's going to be some WGN logo goodies that were just gifted to her 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
This is a boom box for you, Rich, and a cooler, too.
No, you guys aren't getting the WGN swag because you don't need it. You can ask Marlene for your own swag.
I'm telling you, you know what I had to do to get one T-shirt? You walk up to Marlene, she gave you half the prize closet. I need to have a discussion with Marlene. Marlene, what's up?
I think she just looks at Violetta like, maybe she's confused and thinks Violetta's her child. I don't know.
Bring your daughter to work day or something. Like, who's that kid that keeps visiting in the traffic area? She's very handsy with the equipment. That's her.
All right. Coming up, top five at five.
Great.
And then A.B. Stoddard is going to be with us at 5:40 to talk about what's going on. And Mike Pence, his North Korea story with Mike Pence is getting kind of interesting, and there's a lot of speculation about it. There's so many interesting stories, it's hard to get to them all.
A lot going on, yeah.
But that's one that I think people would be interested in. So we'll be doing that. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, Richard Roper reviews Annihilation and Game Night, plus an exclusive conversation with Hollywood actress Heather Graham coming your way right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, more chances for you to rip us off for invitations to come to the Saturday Night Live show, the Museum of Broadcast Communications, beautiful Saturday Night Live exhibit, which has opened already, open to the public, and here for the rest of the year. Definitely worth seeing. It's people from all over the country are coming into Chicago to see this thing. It's really, really, really cool.
It really is. It's one of the coolest exhibits Chicago's had in a long time. If you're a fan of the show, you're going to just... It's like going to the Cooperstown for Saturday Night Live. All the artifacts and scripts and sets, everything. It's a real interactive experience. You really feel like you're part of it.
The same guy who designed the King Tut exhibit and designed the Titanic exhibit designed this.
Amazing.
So it's not like, oh, we're just going to go look at a set and, oh, what is that? It takes you through the entire... It takes you through the history of Saturday Night Live. It takes you through the work week at Saturday Night Live. Because it is, when you stop to analyze what it is that you see, it's not just a bunch of people who got together Saturday morning to come up with skits.
No.
Right? It's a really complicated process to get that 90 minutes on the air every week or the weeks that they do it. the 20 weeks a year that they do it. So it's a pretty 26, whatever it is. It's pretty amazing. So go to see that. But in the meantime, stay tuned, because you can be there while we're doing a show from there. It's going to be very cool. We're going to play News or Ruse from the Saturday Night Live Jeopardy set.
Wow.
Yes, exactly how I feel about it. It's exactly how I feel about it. All right, let's see now. If it's 5 o'clock, what does that mean?
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four. One.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Well, she said it. Okay, I'll do it.
Number five.
The president today hosted a listening session at the White House for students, parents, and teachers impacted by gun violence, including from Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where 17 people were killed last week. Jonathan Blank was there.
Term that was shot at. In my mind, as
we lost 17 lives.
I was actually in the second classroom that was shot at. In my mind, as a kid, that should nothing ever that horrible should ever have to happen to you.
Andrew Pollack lost his 18-year-old daughter in the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, a week ago. He says the shooting is not about guns, but rather about security.
I'm very angry that this happened, because it keeps happening. 9/11 happened once, and they fixed everything. How many schools, how many children have to get shot? It stops here with this administration and me.
Really impactful thing. It was, I think this is one of the moments where the president actually does have an opportunity to, and in a couple of occasions here, acted very presidentially. You know, he sat there and he listened and he seemed engaged in it. He was dutiful in his tone. He engaged everybody, and there was a wide range of ideas, from increased security to one guy, that they turned to and they featured. He was sitting close to the president. It was a guy who advocated for, one secret teacher in the school having a gun, and no one knows exactly who that is. And they go to the safe when the school shooting starts, and then they go to act to stop it. You hear people talking about that. That does not, to me, seem like it's the diehard solution to it. Yeah. It's one guy who's going to take down, whether it's a single or multiple gunmen going into the school. Doesn't seem like enough of a solution, right. I think, for these grieving parents or for the rest of, caring citizens. Although that'll solve it, because this idea is, well, if everybody had a gun, everybody would be safe, which we know is not true.
Exactly.
We see that to very ill effect here in Chicago, in which the majority of killings happen where everyone's armed.
Yeah, that's true.
In the confrontation. Mm-hmm. So this is not, that's not, and what you got, how do you know that person's going to be near the situation, is going to be able to get to that situation?
And how many times would you have a tragedy where someone would steal that gun, that even though it's locked away, or the trained teacher would pull the gun out and think there was an intruder when there wasn't, and accidental shootings. Right. I mean, it would just probably create as many problems, if not more, than it would solve.
And how much training do you need? Another solution that I heard that was sort of along that line, though, which made sense, is to make sure that there's at least one armed law enforcement person on duty at every school.
Yeah,
at least one.
A complex with many buildings and more than 3,000 kids. So, I mean, it's a small town, right?
You'd have to have a number, a number there.
Yeah.
But that's the point. Now, in the city of Chicago, there's our police officers assigned to every school, public, private, all of that. And, we've had enough trouble in this city. We haven't had that problem in the city, though. Okay. And so this seems to be. That's a solution. If you want to put armed personnel in the schools, put armed personnel in the schools that are trained to deal with this kind of a situation. And the football coach is not the answer.
Yeah, not a history teacher that took a course. Not to say, right. That's not a good idea if you're going to have a gun. But yeah, the idea of like locking the gun and one nobody in the school even knows who the secret teacher is. Yeah. That was a football. But a lot of the parents and students made some really strong points at this White House listening session.
It was pretty well done, and I don't I throw around compliments for this administration like manhole covers.
Mm. Number four.
Someone reprogrammed Algonquin Township's phone system to replace its voicemail greeting with a new message poking fun at Highway Commissioner Andrew Gasser and the township's recent in-house turmoil. Hmm. The voice message removed from the system around noon today was a jab at a recent trouble inside McHenry County's most populous township, where there have been a bunch of lawsuits, astronomical legal fees, numerous corruption allegations at the highway department, and claims of patronage and cronyism. What? That would never happen here.
Thank you for calling the Algonquin Township. Our offices are currently closed. For patronage employment information, press 1. For information to learn more about how we are wasting taxpayer dollars, press 2. To contribute to our legal defense fund, press 3. For more options or to reach Gas Bag, press 5.
Please leave your message after the tone. When done, hang up or press the pound key.
Oh boy!
How many times did the guy have to call in who got the code to the answering machine? Yeah. How many times did the guy have to call in and then go through that, then listen to it? Do you like your message?
Jeez.
If you'd like to clear your outgoing message, press 1.
People are going to figure out who it is.
Isn't that Ernie?
Wait a minute.
That is really,
over in the county?
That's the truth. It's like,
somebody.
Yeah, come on now. Everybody knows who you are, pal.
Yeah, didn't disguise his voice or anything.
And you hear somebody in the background of the thing kind of laughing, like egging them on. It's like a phony phone call when you're a kid.
Yeah, they're calling the bar next. They're calling Most Tavern next.
Hey, more bots. Do you see more bots? It's a wacky morning DJ stunt is what that is. Yeah.
You know what we got to do?
There you go.
We got to call the city hall and leave an outgoing message. We'll bring up to that code is 1234.
Crazy Ira and the douche. We apologize, the billboards, for what they said.
All right. So we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Judy Pylock tells us what's coming up in the bottom of the hour at the WGN Newsroom. Yep, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is in for Anna today and would like to tell you.
I would like to tell you to make your Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then you just have to stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago. That's at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
All right, Top 5-5 continues, and we're up to...
Number 3.
During his monologue last night, Stephen Colbert... had these thoughts about the huge success of Black Panther, which, of course, Richard Roper gave 4 stars.
Black Panther broke all sorts of records this weekend. It had the largest solo superhero opening of all time, the largest ever box office in February, and the most white people seeing a movie starring a black person who is not Will Smith.
That's sort of true, okay. Actually.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, checking in at
number 2.
Billionaires, well, they're not just like us. Mm. Bill Gates proved that on the Ellen DeGeneres Show today in a Price is Right type guessing game that shows that the now longtime billionaire, right? I mean, he's basically been a billionaire since he was 28 years old.
Wow, yeah.
Right? May not be as connected to the common man as you might think.
There is Rice-A-Roni. How much do you think Rice-A-Roni would be within a dollar?
$5.
Oh, it's a dollar. Ooh.
Okay.
Tide Pods. You've been hearing a lot about those lately. What do you think?
$4.
$19.97. Totino's Pizza Rolls. One bag of Totino Pizza Rolls.
I'll go with 22.
What?
No, no, 8.
All right, let's try it. $8. $8.99.
$22 a pizza.
Wow. But, you know, I absolutely love Ellen. I would have turned the tables and asked her to do the same. I wonder. Because I think Portia does all the shopping. I don't know that for
I don't think Portia does the shopping. Her name's Portia.
Yeah.
Ellen
probably does know.
They have someone named Maria in their house that does all of the shopping.
I don't think I'd be very good at that. Because they scan things so fast now. I just know what the total is always. Because then I have to pay it.
I would have gotten all those right except for the Totino.
What? Those are so good.
I don't buy the Totinos.
The pizza rolls? I wouldn't have thought $22. You can get like.
I would have guessed like $5 for the Totino.
They're kind of pricey.
Yeah.
Kind of steep.
So they're good.
It's interesting.
Well, here in Chicago, you also do a bag, one bag, 7 cents. You have to pay for your bags.
I like when you have like, Rice-A-Roni, $400, Smithers.
My favorite is when you go to Jewel, and I love it. Like, I have like 107 items, and they go, would you like any bags today? No, I'm just going to carry it one banana at a time out to the car.
Well, in all fairness, they are having to try to figure out how to make this work. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a real problem here, people.
With it just gives you empty cardboard boxes. They're like, here, fill it yourself and carry it to your car.
Well, they all apologize to you. Well, I'm going to have to sell you this bag for 7 cents.
I just bring I bring my own. I just bring my largest piece of luggage, and I just open that up on the register there. Here you go.
And I thought the whole idea, remember the whole idea was to try to get rid of what they call urban tumbleweeds, the super light bags. That, you know, blow around, anyway, they rip, and then they blow around, people throw them around, and they end up in trees, and you can't get them out, and all that.
Right. The sewers.
Right, but now in an effort to try to make money off of the 7 cent bag that they have to actually pay the tax for, they've gone and they've gotten the cheapest bags you can imagine against the back of the urban tumbleweed.
They will break on you, yeah. You can buy those nice cloth ones and actually use those as your carry-on luggage, as I've seen people do.
Oh.
Not playing with their Whole Foods bag as their carry-on.
You know, look, what am I, Justin Kaufman walking in with a WBEZ bag? What am I doing? I'm not going to do that.
Dang.
I'm not doing that. You know, people, you know, they carry the tote. When a man's carrying a tote, something's gone terribly wrong in his life.
Collateral damage to the 7 p.m. guy. Man.
Or a University of Chicago professor or something. What is that? We're carrying a tote.
I can't do a tote either.
Can't do a tote?
I'm team no
tote. I'm not going to do a tote. And then the bag. Although I will say this. So some stores, they try to upsell you in the bag. Well, you know, our bag is better than their bag.
Right.
Our 7 cent bag. This is a really nice bag.
Sell you a tote bag for $20.
I'm going to the Whole Foods, and they're trying to sell me a hemp bag.
More like whole paycheck.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Kevin walking down the street with his thin bag, the Pringles rolling down the street after the bag breaks.
Dang it.
Number one.
I believe that we stand on the verge of a historic moment that could have an unparalleled and unprecedented impact in a world that is confused, perplexed, and frustrated at this hour. And I'm convinced of one thing, that during the past few weeks, we have seen an easing of world tension. And I believe that one of the contributing factors to the easing of world tension and the prospects of an era of peace is the great spiritual awakening that we believe is taking place in many parts of the world.
There's Billy Graham right there. He is probably the world's best known Christian English language evangelist. He died, it was announced today, at the age of 99. Started as a 16-year-old baseball-loving teenager who found Christ at a tent revival, then attended Wheaton College here in Wheaton, and went on to become an international sensation. He was the minister to a dozen presidents of the United States, a voice of solace in times of national heartbreak. America's pastor, George W. Bush, called him.
I one time said, you know, I truly believe that because you interceded in my life, that you started the process by which I gave up alcohol. And of course, his answer was, it wasn't me.
Bill Clinton said that Billy Graham's pull on him was not political.
They wanted to know what he knew, feel what he felt. They wanted to feel that what they were doing could be done well and honorably.
Jimmy Carter said Billy Graham was a man he wanted to be just like.
He believed in breaking down the barriers between black and white when it was very unpopular to do so in the South. I just think that in almost every way, the things that he did as a Christian were admirable.
A lot of people confuse Billy Graham with other televangelists at the time because he sprung to prominence in a moment in which people were going to television in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s and were trying to sell you things by using God to sell you things. And Billy Graham didn't do that. Billy Graham didn't have a mega church. Billy Graham didn't have his own TV show or TV network. What he did is he put together this stadium tour, essentially. He went around the world, and in front of massive audiences, he preached the gospel. And he did it in a way that was non-denominational. He wanted to attract people to the word of Christ as he saw it, and then let them make their own decision about where to go from there in that life. So he was beloved by Catholics and Protestants and other non-denominational Christians and other religious leaders around the world because he was very ecumenical about it. And he is not to be confused with, and I think there is some confusion today about who Billy Graham was and his impact on the world. He was a very, very, very special figure in American religious history. And in politics, in the sense that every president sought him and sought his advice, and not necessarily his audiences, because Billy Graham kind of came off the road, I think, like in the 1980s, right? I mean, he wasn't really doing the gigantic stadium tours, but he was a guy that was still, he understood the pulse of religious America in a way that, again, was not about the way it's been politicized now. Really, really, really special man. And he will be remembered for that. Billy Graham was 99.
The top five at five.
And in last place, Tony Bennett, whose score is so low, it can't be represented by a real number.
I'm having a great, great, great time, man. Tonight I said bells and buzzes, dings and bings. It's like Atlantic City took a giant crap, and out came the 4th of July.
What a lovely image.
I got two more pairs of tickets to give away right now to callers number 19 and 20 at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're doing a show at the Saturday Night Live exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications on Monday, March 5th. It's going to be, I'm telling you, man, wait till you see this exhibit. It's the actual set. I've had the great pleasure of attending a Saturday Night Live event, actually going to the actual live Saturday Night Live show. And the musical guest was Zwan. And I'm like, I can see Zwan anytime I want to see them. And I'd rather see the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, I got to see Alanis Morissette one time.
Now, that's a good one. Good.
But Tom Green was hosting. Remember Tom Green?
Oh, yeah.
And he claimed he was going to marry Drew Barrymore at the end of the show, and I was very excited he didn't.
I had Ray Romano. Actually, it was a pretty good show, yeah. And I got invited to the after party, the famous after party, which turns out to be a corporate event.
Did you hook up with Jan Hooks or anybody from that era? Molly Shannon?
Dimitri Vance. Too soon. All right, listen,
What do you have? Passes?
What we're here to talk about right now. We just gave those away.
Okay.
A.B. Stoddard is joining us right now, as she does on early in the week. Mm-hmm. Today is a Wednesday. Generally, she's with us on a Monday.
Yes.
But here she is. She's in the Washington, D.C. She's as confused as the rest of us are about what's going on around her. There's no question about that. A couple things before we get... I want to talk about the Pence-Korea thing, because that sort of, like so much that happens here, would be consequential in any other administration, but is such a low-ranking story compared to all the other chaos that's going on that we don't have time to get to it. But I will ask you this. The president did today have family members and other stakeholders in the school gun debate at the White House for a discussion, and that looked like the kind of thing that you might have seen in previous White Houses, you know, whether it was Bush or Obama or anybody else, in which the president seemed rather empathetic, which I think when he just shows up and behaves like an adult, everybody's surprised. He gets bonus points for it.
Yeah, I think that generally speaking, President Trump has been graded on a curve, but if you look at what he was facing and allowing the cameras there, I think it's terrific that he did it. I really think most people expected he would try to avoid that kind of a confrontation, and he took it in, and I just think it's a great first step. I don't know where the president is on any kind of changes because he's tweeting about background checks and he wants, you know, teachers to be trained and carry weapons, and you know, we don't really know what his plan is. But the fact that he just sat and drank it in and allowed these people to really confront him, I think is really huge. I really do, and he is graded on the curve, but he's very dug in on this issue, and I think it took a lot of guts to do that.
Anything's going
to
happen here? Do you believe that bump stocks or?
I mean, look, I just, you know me. I love bipartisanship. I host No Labels Radio. I have great hope that Senator Pat Toomey, one of the most conservative senators in the Republican conference, you know, he tried after Newtown. He's at it again with Senator Manchin. He had the help of other Republicans who were working quietly years ago on this effort that did fail. But I just do think that there's some sense that Republicans are in an untenable political position now, and that they might not go as far as the other side is asking them to go, but I feel that they will do something. I hope it's, you know, not token, but I just do believe that they feel some kind of pressure to answer. I don't see a lot of great defense for, you know, underage kids buying AR-15s and having handgun checks, you know, be more rigorous than that for a semi-automatic military-style weapon of mutilation. So until and unless, you know, they come up with that, and I don't think they're coming up with it, I think they're going to have to do something on background checks. It's they're probably not going to ban a weapon, but I see something in the screening before you get to a weapon like that on the horizon. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just think that their great fear is that gun control advocates to this point have never been single-issue activists. Yeah, there are a few of them. They do not make a material difference in elections. People vote on choice only, on life only. They vote on Syrian refugee policy only. They vote on immigration only. They vote on gun rights only. But we just do not have a constituency in this country that makes a difference in elections on the gun control side. And if that is, it looks like it's going to change this year, already with the headwinds they're facing, sort of the anti-Trump energy in the midterms, they might do something.
Especially, as you mentioned, AB, you know, the overwhelming public support for some of this common sense legislation and the activism. You know, we know there's a walkout coming up. There are marches. There's going to be a town hall tonight where I think some of the students aren't going to be as polite about what they think of is happening in Washington as the hand-picked invitees to the White House today.
Yeah, and I think it's really great that Rick Scott and Senator Rubio are going to show up.
Is Rick Scott going to show up now? He originally was not going to show up.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's...
Rubio for sure is. My understanding is that Rick Scott said he was not.
Whoever shows up and makes...
Yeah, that's true. They face that music, yep.
I think it, you know, it's just a time where you just can't, if you have strong views, come and articulate them. But there's no dodging on any side of this issue. And it's literally life or death, and it's sort of a public health issue at this point. And, you know, people have changed their thinking many, many times in this country about smoking, about seatbelts, about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Things do change. Now, this has always seemed like some eighth rail that's unchangeable, but, you know, I think that we all agree on this side of the issue that if you're in a hospital bed or a church pew, or in the produce section of a grocery store, or God forbid, in the dark of a movie theater, you are not safe. You are only safe maybe at an airport, behind the security line. So, I just think that it seems to be so politically potent and overwhelming that I think that there's going to be some cooperation on something. I don't know that the gun control side will say it's enough, but I feel like something will happen.
Yeah. There was well, it's a lot to get to today, but there will be more tonight. And this is, I think Richard's point is right, that this is going to be a little less polite tonight. Although I got to say that this, you know, these kids who were bussed up to Tallahassee from Fort Lauderdale to make their appeal, they've been very impressive. They're incredibly articulate. I'm both bemused and deeply offended by all the activity on the internet that is trying to turn them into
so base.
Crisis actors. This one kid, jeez, whose dad was an FBI, former FBI agent, you know, has now, who's one of the voices of this, has now been accused. I mean, here's a kid who was like running away from the gunman a week ago, right now, right? And now, a week later, there's a million people on the internet that are accusing this kid of being a crisis actor. And that he is, you know, he wasn't even a student at the school, and he's out there trying to, the whole thing's fake. I mean, how do people think they're getting away with this? I mean, it's just crazy. It is amazing stuff. So he was on TV today with his dad, and you know, this also plays into that whole narrative that the FBI is bad, and the FBI, if they weren't working on the fake Russia investigation, they'd have been able to figure this out in advance. I mean, it's just, you know, it's simple dumb guy logic that's being used here, and it's horrifying. All right, I want to ask you very quickly about this Mike Pence thing, because I'm fascinated by this. Was there going to be a secret meeting with Mike Pence and the sister of Kim Jong-un in North Korea, and how is it possible that we now, if it was so secret and then the Koreans canceled it, how do we know so much about it now?
I love when you ask me these questions, like I'm a member of the administration.
Yeah,
and I have all
well, you're in Washington. You should know the answer to this question.
Yeah, I hang out with Mike Pence all the time. No, actually, it's really interesting because I was with Josh Rogan, who's a national security columnist for the Washington Post, right after he got back from the trip where he had an exclusive interview with the vice president about whether or not, you know, the dance that they were doing over there, whether or not there's going to be a meeting in South Korea of the North Korean top official, the sister, with the vice president. And it was... it was really interesting. I got to talk with Josh about it, and he described how the vice president was really kind of, you know, he stays on message, as we know, but something had just happened, and it was obviously about this potential meeting, and he sort of just went into kind of natural, you know, honest mode, and they, you know, they were making a sincere effort to work something out. I don't know how this fell apart or why it was kept, you know, under wraps until now. I don't understand all the machinations of that, but it's clear that they were trying to pull something off that they felt would be productive, and they had teased it, as you probably remember, at the beginning of the trip. He was like, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think they're making a very respectable effort, and I just don't know. I think all the kind of, when we sit back here and speculate, like, oh, is the United States getting played, and is it stupid for him to ignore her in the seats at the, you know, opening ceremonies, and is she getting too much flattering press and everything? I think that does a real disservice to the fact that it's a serious crisis, and I think the administration's doing the best they can. I mean, minus President Trump's tweets, which are incredibly reckless about North Korea. I think if you look at the other players who are hard at work on this issue, they deserve a lot of credit.
All right. And one last question. Will Donald Trump have Melania's parents deported because it appears that they are the beneficiaries of chain migration?
No. There are rules for fools, and then Donald Trump makes his own rules. You know that. They get to play by their own rules. Jared does not need a security clearance.
And Melania's parents get to stay.
Business. They get to get trademarks from the Chinese government. They've made this perfectly clear.
By the way,
rules for us and rules for them.
Melania, I would like to throw your parents out of the country.
Jeez.
Because it made me very nervous.
I can just imagine. I mean, she's mad at him enough, right? Imagine he comes home. By the way, they got to go.
It's not looking good. It's getting weird.
Yeah, it is
getting weird, especially because the Ronan Farrow piece in New Yorker, Brooke Brower is a White House. She's written about first ladies and the history of the White House staff, and she has the best sources about the White House staff. And she revealed on CNN about a month ago that they have separate bedrooms. And then this Ronan Farrow piece in the New Yorker that's about this brunette Karen that he had an mm-hmm. affair with at several golf trips or whatever.
Yeah.
In a story, this is years ago, he says, oh, there's her bedroom. She has a separate bedroom. She likes to be alone to read and think. And
right. They don't just have separate bedrooms at the White House, which
this
is very
is
common.
Now.
This, they have separate bedrooms everywhere they are,
oh, gosh.
Which is, right. I mean, first of all, you really want... When he puts his hair up on the on the styrofoam head before he goes to bed, and he's reading Mein Kampf, you know, in the which is according to his first wife, that's what he had at his bedstand, and he's
I remember that detail. It has been published.
That is right. That is true, and he's snoring. I mean, you really want to put up with that?
It's gonna be tough.
I mean,
I want to know. After seeing the photo from about 10 days ago where it all lifted up off the back,
yeah, it was strange.
The hair wrap, the sideways wrap lifted up in the wind, and I never knew what was going on under there. And now that I've seen it, it is an elaborate operation, and I want to know how he learned to do it by himself, because I don't think someone helps him with that.
No,
he doesn't want anybody touching him, that's for sure.
He doesn't want watching Fox and Friends in the morning. It's the exact length of the show is how long it takes him to do his hair.
All right, A.B. Stoddard, thank you. Sorry you had to be here for this. Right now, here is Judy telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour. Rokan Show with Hannah DeBlantis. Richard Roper in for Hannah. She is back tomorrow, and I think tomorrow is going to be one of those crazy days. On this program.
I agree.
It's Thursday, that's why, right?
Yeah.
It's also my birthday.
It's what?
My birthday.
Oh, Rob Martier's birthday, right, is tomorrow. It's exciting. I'm excited.
We're planning a very big party for him.
Yes, yes, we are.
Lots of presents.
Yeah, we're doing
Marlene's
it on
planning it.
We're doing it on his birthday, actually. We're not going to wait.
Oh, yeah.
Rob's, I know Rob's very hard at work on the goodie bags he's going to give to all his friends.
Yes, the treat bags on our way out because
Edward
he's going to get
story,
they're the gift the thank you bags for all the gifts we're going to give him.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about it for Rob. Good guy.
Yeah, okay. I'll see y'all tomorrow at
about, we'll see you then, right?
Well, I hope you guys have fun with that.
Oh, you're invited.
I'm busy. I have plans.
Oh, sorry. Well,
sorry, guys.
Yeah.
What's the big deal for you?
She's big. Yeah, she's big timing us now.
Drew Barrymore also having a birthday tomorrow. She's delightful. I love her.
Is she going to be at your dinner tomorrow night with the rest of your scantily clad friends?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know what you meant by that.
I do know what I mean by that because I want you people to put some clothes on before you leave this house. That's what goes on over there.
I'm hoping there's a warm up tomorrow so we're not cold, but might have to throw tights on underneath that dress.
This is the right. You're right.
Is this cover charge? For people who aren't having a birthday, sir.
Oh God! All right, listen. Richard Roper is here to review some things. We got Blackhawks hockey coming your way in a few minutes.
Yes.
All right. So you got this Annihilation movie with the Natalie Portman.
Yes.
And it's got one of the creepier trailers.
Man, oh man! I got to tell you, yeah. I mean, of course, people are still talking about Black Panther, but a lot of people have already seen that, and now it's time for some new movies. Annihilation, Natalie Portman, Academy Award winner, and this is one of those strange kind of. It reminds me of that movie Arrival from a few years ago, where it's a sci-fi thriller and it's a horror film, but it's a lot more than just blood and guts. There's an area, it's in somewhere in the world, let's just say that's been affected by some sort of strange environmental mutation. And every time people go in there, military types, they never come back. So now, Natalie, who's a biologist, former military, the character she plays, and her husband went missing, she now joins an all-female expedition of researchers, fighters, and scientists to find out what's going on in this strange mutant world. And now we got a little bit of a clip for you right here.
We have to go back. We have to go back now.
She's right. I really don't know how much more right she has to be.
Okay. And I agree with you. We should go back.
Good. Okay, great. There we go. Okay, so the three of us can just
pack
up.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. We should go back, yes, but it took us, what, 6 days to get here? And the coast is 2 days away.
You're saying that we get out by going deeper in?
Yeah, if you like, yeah.
Like? No, I don't like. This isn't some tactic to get us to the lighthouse, is it?
I believe that the coast is the best route out. Okay?
I don't like this movie already.
You're going to be so creeped out by this movie. It's so well done. There's like, so this mutant world, you see all different kinds of flora and fauna, you know, that you've never seen before. And at times it's really beautiful, but then there's some other stuff. Let me just say this without giving anything away. There's a bear in this movie, a mutant bear that makes the bear and the revenant look like Winnie the Pooh. All right? This is what I'm telling you people. It is a psychological thriller. It has almost like a Twilight Zone feel, but then it also does have some really, really big gotcha moments and then some deep stuff, and then it goes way off the rails, and it's the kind of movie where I'm
digging it all the way. I'm giving this movie four stars.
You got 2 4-star movies in the theater right now.
In February, which is a shocker. But I'm also telling you, this is the kind of movie where you'll be digging it, and the person next to you will be like grabbing their purse and saying, let's go, I'm not getting this at all. People will walk out of this movie. Some people will, because they'll just say, I don't get it. This is nuts. I don't know where they're going. But other people will say, this is a real journey, a real trip, man. It'll play with your mind. And then you got Natalie Portman, who I think gives as good a performance here as she's ever done in her career. And she's an Oscar winner, but she's so good here as this biologist, a grieving widow. But then is she a widow? Is her husband really alive? Ooh, I guess you'll have to find out. Annihilation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Her husband is the bear.
Not the bear.
Is she in there trying to find her husband? Is that the point?
And they're also just trying to find out what exactly is going on. They mentioned the lighthouse because something struck this lighthouse, and now there's all kinds of weird stuff coming out of there. There may be creatures. There may not be creatures. It could be
probably
otherworldly.
Aliens.
It could be aliens. Not aliens. We don't know. That's the scary part. Is it a man-made thing that went sideways? Is it an alien invasion? It could be anything.
The girl conversation, though, back and forth about which direction they should go was little roundabout.
Well, three of them at that point. Well, let's just say that there were more of them when they started the mission than there were in that conversation, so they're a little freaked out.
I just want to say one thing. I don't like tough bears.
Jeez.
Coach Fox, haven't heard from you.
I'm back.
Yeah. Probably at he could be at the movies right now, right?
I am.
See, the North Dakota State's looking for a coordinator or something.
They wouldn't take him. That's a high-quality program.
LinkedIn right now, looking for a new job opening. Driver's Ed instructor. And
so Lovie Smith looked at my LinkedIn. All right. Okay, so 4 stars.
4 stars for Annihilation.
All right, now explain this because you sat down with Heather Graham. We're going to play some of that in just a minute here because that's kind of an interesting. For an interesting reason, you sat down with her, and it's very interesting stuff that she said to you. Mm-hmm. But wait, before we get to that, I got to ask you about this Game Night movie.
Okay,
because I can't decide if I want to see this or it's going to be the worst movie ever.
Yeah, I think there are going to be mixed opinions on it as well, but I like the premise. So you got your the Bateman and Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams and Kyle Chandler, who people know from a ton of series going back to Friday Night Lights. So the basic premise is these suburban couples have a game night. You know, they like to do charades and Pictionary and board games and everything. But then they up it a notch with one of those mystery nights where there are actors that come in playing cops and bad guys. And, you know, you have to kind of figure out who the bad guy is. And the premise here is halfway through game night, Kyle Chandler's character, he's the brother, the show-off rich brother of Bateman's character. He's actually involved in some real-life intrigue. But, of course, everybody else still thinks it's game night. So here's a clip right now where Kyle Chandler's really in danger. But his friends and his brother, they still think it's all just a joke.
Perfect. Go speak to the devil. There's Ryan now, probably calling, begging for help. Ignore.
Look, this is not a game, Max.
Guys, it's a wrap in here, okay? Show's over.
I'm confused. So this isn't the end of this whole thing?
No, it is the end, okay? You said whoever catches you gets the car. We found you. You get the car. Game over.
No, I'm telling you, this is all real.
The actors are real. Come on. How about that ridiculous fight? Was that real?
Is this gun real?
Oh, no, Annie.
Oh, no.
Blood!
Oh, my God. I shot you!
What the...
They begin to realize it's real when the bullet goes in and out of his arm and there's blood all over the place. So it's kind of a wacky, over-the-top comedy. I'm giving it 3 stars. You got to kind of go with it because, you know that halfway through this, these people would realize that there's real stuff. But then there's a twist, and then there's a twist upon the twist. But it's mostly just goofiness. You know, it's a goofy suburban comedy with a terrific cast. And I do like the premise, you know, that game night goes sideways and all of a sudden.
I sort of see Violetta's birthday night tomorrow night going like this.
Right. This is not a drill.
Blood!
I do feel as though I'm going to get the call 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey!
4:30.
Something happened. All right.
Can I ask you a favor?
Rachel, no. Heather
She's
Graham.
She's going to be there.
Oh, good. Excellent. Heather Graham.
Yes.
Is sat down with Richard Roper. We are going to play some of that for you. The whole interview is up at WGNRadio.com.
Cool.
But this is very interesting story behind this. Heather Graham, of course, who sprung to prominence right? Two decades ago now, and Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
And then became, you know, a gigantically important actress. And what she's up to right now. Fascinating interview. But first, Violetta.
There's Chicago, and they are real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with a WGN morning news team. That's weekdays 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. every day.
All right, Richard Roper sat down with Heather Graham, who sprung to prominence in Boogie Nights and then went on to an ingenue-esque career in Hollywood.
Yeah, I remember she's in the Hangover movies, then the Austin Powers she did. And some pretty serious roles, comedy. She's done it all. So she's 48 now, believe it or not, Heather Graham. And she has now come out with a little movie that's also coming out this weekend. And my reviews you can find on all my websites. Half Magic, it's called. And in the movie, she plays someone who's trying to become a screenwriter in Hollywood. So it's clearly reflective of some of her own experiences. And some of you might recall that last November, Heather Graham was one of the first to step forward and talk about Harvey Weinstein. Right after Ashley Judd did, Heather wrote a piece for Variety, a guest piece, and talked about how Harvey basically said, here's a pile of scripts on his desk, and if you sleep with me, this was in the early 2000s, she alleges, he was like, sleep with me and you can have any role you want. And she didn't, but you know, she's just only recently talked about it. So I asked her about how that and how the movie kind of mirrors some of her own experiences.
This film, even though you thought of it and conceived it and filmed it before of all that, the timing couldn't be better, right?
I know. I feel very lucky, like someone up there is watching out for me, because it's like, I was afraid that people wouldn't be able to take the subject matter, so I tried to make it as comedic and sexy as I could. But in fact, everyone is really ready for the subject matter right now, which is amazing.
And this is the same idea here, though, right?
Yeah.
That she's being pushed around.
Yeah, and she was, you know, dating an action star who has been in movies such as Bros Before Hoes, like the fake movies, you know, type of thing, and he treats her horribly. And then I just asked her a little bit more about, you know, her own experiences and how a lot of other women have been coming forward.
You were one of the first to talk about, you know, pressures you felt from Harvey Weinstein. I mean, even 3 or 4 months ago, did you envision that the movement would become this big?
No, I just thought, okay, I'll come out and, you know, hopefully that'll be, you know, I'll feel better about myself and hopefully it'll help the other women that came forward with the stories about him. But I had no idea it would just go on for months with all these women coming forward. But all my girlfriends were having all these memories of different things that had happened to them. And I have one friend, she's in her 60s. She was telling me the story how she, in college, her professor came to her apartment and said, you have to have sex with me or else I'm going to fail you out of my class. And then she didn't, and he failed her out of the class, and she had to retake the class. I'm just like, these things have been happening to women for so many generations. And it's great that we finally feel open to talk about them.
Oh. All right. The full interview with Heather Graham, which is about 10 minutes long, is at WGNradio.com if you want to hear that. Richard Roper and Heather Graham. And it's an amazing career. She really has.
Yeah, and she still has the roller skates from Boogie Nights. She owns those, for those of you asking. She does have them, but she will not put them on.
As far as
so
you know, I didn't ask out loud, okay. But I did ask in my own head.
Here we go.
All right. We've got Chicago Blackhawks hockey coming your way in 2 minutes.